And we are welcoming up, oh, Charlene Brooks. Okay. She's going to wheel on up because she's that cool.
You guys will hear me before you see me. I'm coming. All right. I just got a. It's a three-point turn situation. This has got a terrible turn radius, I got to tell you. I was kind of hoping to... Oopsies. How are we doing? We doing okay? All right. I was kind of hoping to rid myself of that accessory, but just wasn't going to happen. So I have a cast for another who knows how long. We'll just walk it out, ride it out. I think I'm good, actually. I got my little stopper here. The cord is acting as a natural brake. Woo, we're here. Okay, we got it. You ladies would be proud of me. I actually went and shopped for shoes and found some with just trying the one on. So I'm a dedicated sort. Okay. Do you know, I've never really had this view. And I would just like to take a minute and soak it all in.
We love you, Charlene.
As the pastors, they get to stand up and see you every Sunday. And I tell you what a vision it is. You are God's beloved gifts. Ones who Jesus died for, rose again. And forgave. And then when he ascended, he gave us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us and among us and give us the same power and authority that rose Christ from the dead. Amen. Jesus gave each and everyone access, each and every one of you. I tell you, you're beautiful to look at. And when God the Father looks at you, he sees you, and he sees the robe of righteousness that Jesus put on you. It's yours. And may you be reminded this morning that he absolutely loves you lavishly. He rejoices over you with dancing. And he is especially fond of each and every one of you. I really was impressed to share that with you because this view of looking at each and every one of you, know you are God's gifts, he sees you, and he loves you. Now, I'm just going to break into a little bit of a light moment because I bet y'all are a little curious as to what it's like to be sitting in the congregation when your husband's the preacher. Now, I may not get this chance again, so. Us gals, we don't get mad, we get even. Well, I'm sure you're curious. I want to clarify a couple things while these guys are sorting out the sound. First of all, I hear his message when you all hear his message. So it's a first time for me as well. And I got to tell you, the stories he shares are as Tom remembers them happening. Not necessarily exactly how they happen. I will tell you this, though. We are deeply connected heart to heart. So when you see him tear up, I can't help it. I've got an instant reaction. I've got tears in my eyes. And right now I'm not looking at him. I can't explain it. It just happens. Now, you know, the Bible does say that no good thing will he withhold from you to those who love God. Well, Tom's one of those no good things.
Listen, I haven't even started my message, okay? So
I can be funny too, hun.
Seriously, you guys.
You know what? I love and honor, and I absolutely respect him. And I can tell you this without a word of a lie. Who you see publicly is who he is. He is God-fearing, he's funny, he's positive, he's relational, and he's loving. And I get to go home with him at the end of the day, so I'm going to hold it off there. And I want to share with you a little bit about Mother's Day, obviously. But before I do, and it's just such an affirmation, see, I come equipped. I'm used to or accustomed to speaking publicly, but I'm not really used to talking about myself or our family or things of the heart. When I would speak in public, and actually having a headset on reminds me of my 911 dispatch days. I'm ready to call for a car to go and, you know, to a call or what have you. But I am not accustomed to talking about us. So I will be emotional, and it's funny because oftentimes I'm sitting and I say to Tom, you know what, just because I don't show my feelings doesn't mean I don't have any. I do have them. And my EHS group, they're going to testify to the fact that Charlene does have feelings. She does have emotions, and she can cry, which dispels the whole thing and the whole notion that cops don't cry. So, but before I start this morning, and it was very affirming to have Catherine and Renee pray, because today is a day of celebration. We celebrate women. God honors women. I mean, look at, he chose women to be the life source here in the world. I mean, how amazing. And not only that, it's not just about mothers, but women in general. I mean, it was women who first saw and told of the resurrection of Christ, right? So anyways, lots of thought bombs going off in here, but I got to stick to my notes because I'm in competition with my husband. He's going to do communion after, and I got to give him time. But today is a day of celebration, but I tell you what, I do want to look at a couple of different dynamics that come up for us. Many will look back with fondness to their upbringing and all that their mothers have meant and still mean to them. And perhaps looking back, for some, it's going to be painful, and there may be regret and grief of what could have been and what didn't happen, because our mother perhaps didn't have the capacity to give what we longed for and what we needed in terms of emotional connection and care. And maybe for others, it's going to be a little sad, where there's grief, the loss of a little one, or never had, or that one that could have been, but a decision was made not to carry. Based on fear and life circumstances. So today there could be a sense of regret and heartbreak for some of us. Today could be hard. Why? Well, because while we get our breakfast in bed and our lovely, meaningful cards, accolades, and praise and appreciation, on the inside we may be just a wee bit critical of ourselves and reflecting on our shortfalls when we've missed the mark. Not being like the mom who seems to have it all together. Perhaps you'll feel unworthy, maybe a little ill-equipped for what the task is. Or maybe you just plain lost your cool with your kids on the way to church this morning, or maybe any morning. And you recall a situation where you disciplined your child, and on reflection, the consequence was more than the crime warranted. Or maybe one of your children has walked away from God, disconnected from you, or on the path that you know in your heart and in reality is only going to lead them down toward the path of destruction, taking their potential and robbing them of their joy and their peace in life. We may be conflicted of heart, trying to reconcile and maybe make sense of our real versus our ideal. What we imagined we would have in our minds, and what we had hoped for, and what really is. So for everyone, may God totally be your portion and your peace. Yes. May he bring you healing, reassure you of his love, and cover each one of you with comfort by the Holy Spirit, and know that you are seen and you are enough. So although my focus today is going to be on women in the room, the message is for everyone. I believe there'll be nuggets that you can take, fellas, from what I'm going to be saying. But first, a little bit about me. I know that many of you know me as Tom's wife, and that's fine. But I wanted just to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm going to keep it brief. I'm going to give you the Coles notes, and then we're going to move right along. I was raised in a single-parent family. I know firsthand the emotional struggles and the reality of having less than enough. Living with my mom and my sister, the three of us, we tried to make the best of difficult circumstances that life just brought us. I watched as my mom worked hard to make ends meet and experienced her weariness when my mom, being the sole provider for our physical needs of shelter, clothing, and food, and our emotional needs, and being present, giving hugs and reassurance and safety. As years went on, my mom grew stronger, advanced in her career, and was able to provide us for us much better as she seized opportunities. I was taught as a young child to be honest, hardworking, and committed. And with whatever you do, give it your best and do it well. As a youngster, I would be described as, well, they probably said stubborn, I'm going to say tenacious, compassionate, and driven. From the age of 9, I wanted to be a police officer and help people who couldn't help themselves. I wanted to make a difference. I met Tom when I was barely 16. So Mom may not have been too impressed with that. But we dated, got engaged, got pregnant, and got married. In that order. I was married and a mother by the time I was 20. And at the... And I started my career in law enforcement when I was 22 years old. And at that time, I had 2 children. 2 years later, we completed our family with the arrival of our youngest son. At 30, I was accepted into the police force and began my police career. It was full, it was dynamic, and it was demanding. This was a family commitment, and it impacted each one of them greatly. My husband and my children sacrificed much so I could serve the public and look out for each one of you. Well, now you've got the cop and the counselor in the house. My husband quit his job in sales and went to be a counselor. Our kids didn't stand a chance. They were either being interrogated or... How do you feel about that? I'll leave it there. I retired after 18 years as a police officer and started to work on forming Cherubs Inn. And now Tom and I have obviously 3 adult children and 8 grands. Yeah. Now listen, ladies, I got to tell you, I was driven to do well in both my career and as a mother, as a wife, a sister, a daughter, an auntie, and a friend. I was spread pretty thin. And at times, my journey has been perfectly imperfect. Motherhood, in my experience, has really been walking the path of the unknown, a journey in which I could not fully determine each and every possibility, map out every solution, and solve every problem or eventuality. A role that has required so much internal fortitude and depth and bringing with it a degree of uncertainty, a responsibility so great, and with it a vast expanse of emotions, and I'm sure each and every one of you will be able to identify with the joy, excitement, heartache, exasperation, the beauty of it, love, peace, angst, honor, pride, shame, regret, love, disappointment, joy, frustration, fun, and hard work. And it's hard enough when you have a partner to go through life with and parent your children, but it's a completely different dynamic when you're a single parent. And that brings a whole new level of complexity. But be encouraged as I remind you that there is strength, power, and hope in the name of the Lord, our life source. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Today, more than ever, I believe all women, quite frankly, everyone in this room, regardless of your roles, needs your soul fed. We need to be in community with one another and edify each other. We need more than ever to be reminded of who our life source is. And to take the time, I know it's a precious commodity, but friends, we need to carve out the time to abide in him. John 15:4 tells us, "Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you, just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in and being vitally united to the vine. Neither can you in your own strength, no matter how hard you try, how fast you run, how hard you work, will you bear fruit unless you abide in him."
Amen.
So to abide, to draw life from, that's what that means. To be intimate, be in close relationship with, not a superficial acquaintance, inseparable and an essential union. He's our life source. I have an example that came to my mind talking about this, the closeness, that need for closeness, and how our Father draws us. And when I tell stories and it involves our kids, I'll just say one of our kids, because I got three, you're not going to know which one, and it just protects them. But this one I'm sure would like to take credit for it. One of our kids would sometimes, most evenings perhaps, take his blanket and his pillow out of his room and lay in the hallway so he could be closer to me. And one of our kids would just call their dad so they could hear his voice. The need to be connected and close was so great. This is our Father's desire for us, that we would want to be so much closer to him, because he actually wants us to be close to him and he to us. So why is it so important that God is our life source? Why not any other source? Well, for starters, they're all resources, okay? He is the source. He's the perfect example. He's the perfect parent. He's got the perfect plan, yes, even when we don't know it. But even when we don't know it, I would rather be holding on to his hand, not knowing what's coming next, than being out on a limb on my own. He is the great I am. So perhaps you're not too familiar with the characteristics of our life source, but we serve a God who sees, hears, answers, saves, anoints, strengthens, sustains, instructs, guides, heals, corrects, restores, redeems. He is truth, mercy, and he is grace. He's compassionate. He's steadfast, unchanging. He's trustworthy. He's powerful, actually all-powerful. He is forgiving, and he is love. You know, as I was studying and preparing, and I think I've changed this message maybe 3, 5, 6 times. Last one was at 1 a.m. this morning. But I was looking at what the characteristics of a good mom was. Do you know there's 21 characteristics? I mean, I read the list and I was defeated already. patient, calm, friendly, consistent, organized, fierce, forgiving, loving, knowledgeable, brave, healthy, good sense of humor. Well, every now and then. Hardworking, good role model, welcoming, fun, nurturing, imperfect. And I thought, finally, one I can relate to. I was mortified to even print out the words godly mom, because I thought, if being good's 21, I can't imagine what godly is going to be. There was five. I thought, okay, I can do that. But the thing is, when we are self-reliant, and I'm going to talk about being a godly mom, because really what that is it's a heart condition. It's your connection to your life source. Everything else will follow. Trust me, friends, it is the truth. I've tried it all kinds of different ways. I'm looking at it from the rearview mirror now. So I'm standing before you looking in retrospect and saying, hey, listen, do yourselves a favor. Connect to your life source. Your circumstances may not change. You're going to go through difficulties, I get it. You're going to go through crushing times. But when you're connected to your life source, the one I just described to you, who's trustworthy, all-powerful, who is compassionate, steadfast, unchanging, loving, faithful, he's who you need to connect to. And that's how you'll make it through the day. That's how you'll make it through the hour. That's how you'll make it through the toddler temper tantrum, through the teenage years, through the adult years, because I don't know who it was that told me this, but I still have yet to find them. Oh, at 18, it's just freedom after that. It's all over. Well, what they meant to say was you're parenting until they're about 18, but you're forever a parent. And I thought, okay, well, that's a unique distinction. But why is it important to be connected to this, the life source? Well, if we don't have ourselves connected, we'll crumble under the pressure. We'll lose our way. We can become anxious and overwhelmed. And worse, we'll lose our joy. We could think that all the things that have not gone according to plan are all our fault. We can suffer from the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. If we do things on our own, we flounder, we'll be uncertain. Our foundation is not firm, nor is it certain when it's not established on our life source. Self-reliance is dangerous, and I know it very well. I suffered from it. I have a tendency to do it. It's head down, move on, keep moving, solutions, problem solve. You can do this. The tenacity, right? Well, tenacity and stick-to-itiveness and grit, friends, when they're out of balance, is extremely dangerous to ourselves, our well-being, and our families, and everyone around us. We had three kids in a very short period of time. I was young and naive, and I said, hey, listen, I'm only going to have kids till I'm 25. Well, Riley snuck in. I was barely 25 when he was born. So we have three kids, all three very close together. The first two were 14 months apart, and then took a bit of a break, learned a little bit of math, and 2 years later, he came along. But it was, okay, so when now we got toddlers, then we got all teenagers all at the same time. What were we thinking? All of them were going through stuff. I didn't have the answer. I was doing the mental gymnastics, couldn't come up with the solution. 3 o'clock in the morning, I get up, I gotta pray. It's just, I gotta pray, it's desperate. You know, Corrine's going through stuff, Trevor's going through stuff, Riley's going through stuff. And in my prayer, I was sitting down in the living room all by myself, quietly in the house at 3 a.m. And I was praying, and then the Lord whispered to me, put your kids on the altar. To many, that may be a relief, but I didn't have the right response because I was very protective of my kids. And I said, God, okay, just tell me what you're going to do to them first, and then we'll figure out what's going to happen next. In all honesty, that was truly the conversation I had. I could not believe, and looking back, you know, I get grieved by that, because the audacity of me to think that I could be the kid's solution, the audacity to think that I was the only one that could solve any problem or protect them. Well, when I responded with that, that was a wrong answer, folks, wrong answer. But I can tell you this, God never leaves you nor forsakes you, but he will let you be, and he let me be. I don't believe he was, well, at least I don't imagine God was angry. Perhaps he was and would have had good right to be, because I said, well, I don't know if I really trust you. I mean, just think of just even uttering those words. I think he was more brokenhearted, because then it was like, I got to take my hand off you, girl, and you're going to try it on your own. And at the moment, I was fine with it, because I thought, man, I got grit. I can do this. I got the solution. We just got to, you know, rally the troops. We just got to, you know, close the gates, and we just, you know, pray more, run harder, work harder, run faster. Just before the room went completely silent, I heard the Lord say to me, have I not loved you and taken care of you? How much more will I love your gifts and take care of them? But if you think you can do it, that's a double-edged sword, friends, of free will. So why do we need to be connected to our life source? We need to be full, so that we don't go into self-reliance, and we need to be full, okay? So we can pour out from a full cup. Now, there's this saying that, you know, the half cup's half full, that means you're positive. If you look at it and you say the cup's half empty, well, I really don't care how you look at it. Either way, something's missing. So when we are weak, weary, and worn, and we're running from a half-full cup because we're not connected to our source, the enemy comes, and remember what his goal is: steal, kill, and destroy. He's after... It took me a little while. He's not after all my material things. He's after my joy. He's after my hope. And he's after my faith. And I'll tell you what, I actually took a knee. Because I was battle weary. I didn't know how many more rounds I had in me, but was it enough for me to give in and give over? Took a little while longer, but the enemy was after me, and it's real when you're going through real things. Thank God for his word. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. See, it's not a have to go to God. It's a want to go to God. It's a need to go to God. It's I can go to God. I get to. I don't have to walk this road by myself. I don't have to bear the responsibility, the burdens, and the issues, and all that myself. My Heavenly Father is waiting for me to come to him to give me rest and to refresh my soul. Romans 8:26. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads on our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for words. We need to be connected to the source. See, today, more than ever, we're inundated with information. And some of us would have preferred it. At least if we had some information, we would have maybe done a better job, made different decisions, had access. But don't forget, these are resources. And books and Google, they have their place, don't get me wrong. But neither of them are the life source that sustains us, guides us, builds us up, and strengthens us. Now, I'm going old school, because I wasn't sure which scriptures to send over to Charlie to put up on the screen. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Psalm 19, 8 to 11. Don't sweat it if you don't. I'll read it for you. Okay. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and bright, enlightening our eyes. The reverent fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even than much fine gold. They are sweeter also than honey and dripplings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, reminded, illuminated, and instructed, and in keeping them there is great reward. These are truths. These are promises. We can stand on this. Psalm 26 to 7. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God and boast in his name. Being connected and abiding in God not only fills us up, it builds us up, it encourages us, and actually, gals, it empowers us. And that's for everybody, not just the women. God's word fills us up, builds us up, encourages us, and empowers us so we can not just know God, but we can experience God. We can experience joy and peace. He's the one that we hold on to when the storms are raging. And even though we may not hold on to him perfectly, he holds on to us. Amen. Absolutely, perfectly, and securely. He will not release, he will not relinquish his hold on you. He's got you. So being connected to God, it allows us to be transformed and reflect back to others who he is. We can be imitators of Christ. He invites it, actually. And this is important because we're examples as mothers to those around us, in particular our children, our family, and our friends. So maybe we can remember it this way. How many of us know that our kids see everything? They listen to everything. They remember everything. And then they repeat. Yeah, it's the monkey see, monkey do. They repeat things you wish they didn't. But what are they seeing? What are they hearing? What do they have to grasp onto, to remember? What are we giving them to repeat? We are one of the most key and primary influencers in our children's lives. So, we want them to see, hear, remember, and repeat God as their life source so that they can live the truth of the Lord and impact generations. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, But as for you, continue to hold to the things that you have learned and of which you are convinced, knowing from whom you learned them, and how from your childhood you have had a knowledge of and been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you and give you the understanding for salvation which comes through the faith in Christ Jesus, through the learning of the entire, for the leaning of the entire human personality on God. So he's not asking for a little bit of us, he's asking for all of us. Lean entirely, your whole being, your whole personality on God in Christ Jesus, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. And as far as the generational impact, we look at 2 Timothy 1:5. I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith. He's talking to Timothy, Paul is talking to Timothy here. The leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. A faith that is first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And now, I am fully persuaded, dwells in you also. Now, this may not be your experience growing up in a Christian home. Perhaps you haven't come to the saving knowledge of Christ as a child, or maybe you have now as a young adult. So really, even if you haven't been raised in a Christian home, what Paul writes to Timothy can actually start with you. You can be the difference. You can be the influencer. You can be the impact for generations to come. So we need to see, listen. And with listening comes hearing. Remember and repeat his ways and reflect Christ and his character and show his love. And we read in Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children, intimate with their father or mother. God is the life source, the go-to. We can run to him with our imperfections. He is big enough. You see, a mama's heart, a godly mama's heart, is based on relationship and a heart condition that trusts completely in God, even in the unknowing. And as you navigate life in whatever role you fill, whether it be mother, wife, daughter, sister, auntie, or anyone for that matter, any of the men in this room, we all need to know who our anchor is. When trouble comes, it can serve as a depth check. We can see what our connection is like when trouble comes. How do we navigate? Who do we hold on to? What do we cling to? And trust me when I tell you, none of us can afford to live off the coattails of someone else's spirituality or relationship and faith in God. It will never be enough if you live off the coattails of somebody else. It won't give us the depths of confidence that we need to maintain our peace, confidence, and trust in him in the storm. And when storms come, have you ever given God your resume? When you've had that left fielder, that one that knocked you off course, you didn't see that particular crisis coming, you didn't see that particular situation developing. Well, in some of my least proud moments, when crisis has come, and I'm not talking about just a light affliction, I'm talking about excruciating crises, I've questioned God, and I've said, hey, I have served you faithfully. I have done all you have asked me to do. I have spent my life serving people I don't even know. How could this be happening to me? Why not me? We are promised, actually, that trouble will come. We need to be plugged into our life source. So when trouble comes, run to him. He is your refuge. He is your help. You don't need to dust up, dust off, clean up, perk up. He'll take you where you're at. He'll give you a warm embrace. He'll walk you through it. You know, and it's interesting, when you draw your strength from him, it's how you get through the day, like I said earlier, with the toddlers and the temper tantrums, the teenagers, your adult kids, when they do things and look to you for the answers and you perhaps don't have them right then and there. You got to know he is your strength. He is your help in time of trouble. So may we all continue to pursue him. May we see, listen, remember, and repeat what our Heavenly Father has given us as an example. And can I just say to the ones that perhaps are a little bit deep in this, maybe you've got teenagers or you've got adult children and you're in the same place as me, you're looking back, delete the narrative that repeats in your head and wakes you up in the night that tells you it's too late. It's my fault. Don't fall for the lie that says it's too late. While you have breath in your lungs, there is hope for restoration. There is hope for healing. even when we don't get it right. Don't feed your regrets. Instead, ask Jesus to redeem your remaining days. Trust what God says about you. You are his beloved. You are his special gifts and children. We all need to be compassionate to ourselves, and I speak to the ladies on this one. Be compassionate to yourself. Know you did your best with what you had and what you knew and what you had in your hands at the time. And today, give yourself breathing room. Carve out that precious commodity. Give yourself some time to regroup, to abide, and to connect to your life source. And listen for him. May we all have the courage to kneel and the faith to stand on the firm foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially, friends, in these days. May we see, listen, remember, and repeat. Ladies, be blessed today and carry with you always Proverbs 31:25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. She rejoices over the future, knowing that she and her family are in readiness for it. How did they know this? She's connected to the source. She was connected and trusted in her life source, God our Father. Could we do the same? Our days are difficult. There's challenges. But God is with us. And he is faithful. Can we pray? Father God, I thank you for being with us. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for each and every woman here. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just, by your Holy Spirit, encourage their heart. Let them know they're doing better than they think, but they could do just a wee bit better if they were connected to you deeper, more intimately. Lord, that answers are found in you and rest is found in you and peace through the storm is found in you. You are our life source, Father God. I pray that you would quiet the voices of the world, that they would just be, you know, off in the distance, that they would not serve as distractions, Lord, but may we keep our focus and rise and raise our gaze, Lord, to you and to keep our minds and our hearts stayed on you. I pray for a blessing upon each and every one in this building today. Father God, may your Holy Spirit just encourage each and every heart, and whatever seed may have dropped into their heart and was an encouragement, may it just grow and flourish, and may your word not, we know your word doesn't return to you void. It is always powerful, and it will always achieve its purpose. I thank you for the moms in this room today. I ask you that you would just bless them and keep them. Encourage their heart, Lord, to continue to be steadfast and have you as their foundation, knowing that you love them, you care for them, you see them, they are enough. In Jesus' name, amen.